Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. Investing in initial public offers carries inherent risks, as new companies may lack a track record of financial performance and may be more volatile than established companies. On the other hand, IPOs often represent young companies with significant growth potential. Mutual funds at times seek to capture this potential at an early stage by investing in the anchor round of IPOs. Anchor investors are the qualified institutional buyers who are offered shares in an IPO just before the IPO opens for subscription for retail investors. In the recently launched IPO of Mama Earth parent Honasa Consumer, 7 domestic mutual funds applied through a total of 19 schemes. Sometimes investing in the anchor round pays off, while in the past we have seen many such bids turn sour. So what is the process or parameters for adding an IPO company into a scheme? And are mutual funds taking extra risk to deliver better returns by investing in IPOs? Money Control talked to Bharat Lohati, co-head hybrid and solution funds at Edelweiss Mutual Fund for answers. Lohati manages Edelweiss' recently listed IPO fund, which is India's only scheme dedicated to IPO investing. Let's listen in.
Thank you for talking to us and welcome to Simply Save podcast.
Thank you, Abhinav.
First of all, if you can take us through the process or parameters you have for adding an IPO into your scheme.
If you understand, Edelweiss runs the only fund in the market, which is Edelweiss recently listed IPO fund, which invests in some of the upcoming IPOs. It's a thematic fund where 80% of money goes into the recently listed 100 IPOs kind of stuff. So it's a very simple process in general, where we look at some of the upcoming IPOs, and if we find some of these attractive IPOs, we typically tend to invest. It's a strategy where we don't invest in all IPOs. Selection is an important criteria in IPO investing, and we look at some of the new listings where the potential of earnings growth is pretty high. When we look at some of these companies in listing space and why do IPOs do come in, we see actually many IPOs do come up when earnings momentums are very high in their financial statement. And pretty much that is how the things happen in IPO market. And we tend to classify how these earnings are actually panning off, whether these earnings are more cyclical, more secular, and we pick up stock based on that. Factor kind of stuff. We divide actually the entire IPO universe, which comes out in two different buckets, secular buckets and cyclical buckets. Secular buckets are buckets where we think the earning growth potential are higher, first because of the sectoral growth and B, because of the company's competitive positioning in general. If you look at it, some of the companies where the market share gains are pretty high or they are delivering goods and services in a very differentiated manner, typically those companies we tend to put it in a secular bucket. We tend to look at the valuation very, very closely in such kind of companies. We look at not only both in terms of market opportunity, size, competitive advantage, and both growth expectation when valuing such companies. We tend to often understand many of these companies will be at a higher valuation given the growth, size, and all other parameters. But we also been cognizant because these are all long-term story from our end and there are secular ideas. The second bucket obviously is the cyclical ideas. We also understand IPOs do come when the cycle is in more favor. Sometimes, for example, in 2016-17, where many NBFC IPOs were coming in. And so in this case, where in 2020, where many chemical companies IPO came in. So you'll find because of market conditions, certain sectors do throughout some of the niche companies within the segment kind of stuff. We typically identify some of the niche companies in this segment and try to find such kind of IPOs within those cyclical segments. So that is how we actually tend to select IPOs in our fund. Our portfolio and sizing in the fund is always tilted toward more secular ideas, but we do participate in cyclical ideas also quite often from a point of view that many of these companies are niche, they could grow faster than the market, and we could be able to capture a lot of gain potential from that point of view. That's how we actually go about in selecting IPOs in our IPO fund.
Right. Two follow-up questions. When you say recently listed, so what is the time frame that you look at? And also, do you take part in the secondary market during the IPO process?
So when we say recently listed, we are typically talking about last 100 IPOs. And if you look at the history of IPOs in general for last 10, 12 years, you would see actually typically in a year, you will get at least 20 to 30 IPOs in a year. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, but it's on average, it's 20 to 30 IPOs. So primarily it means for an IPO to be in the last 100 listed, it should be a 2-3 years old IPO kind of stuff. So that's the time horizon where we are looking at for the IPO. So I'm just saying it happens that for last 3 years, whatever the IPOs have been coming in, that is the part of the universe what we are actually tracking out to that extent. So that is one part of the story kind of stuff, how we track out which are the companies which will be part of the universe to that extent.
And the secondary market, do you participate in that?
Yes. So for us, IPO investing is not only about the time of IPO gets launched. We typically participate during anchor deals, which is one day before the IPO gets opened up. We can participate in the main book when the IPO finally gets opened up. We also participate post-listing also. And there's no necessary for us to participate during IPO process. We typically tend to sometimes avoid during IPO and participate post-IPO kind of stuff. For us, whenever we get comfort, both in terms of valuation and in terms of earning visibility, we tend to participate in an IPO kind of stuff. So long as part of the last 100 IPOs, that's how we look at the companies to that extent.
Right. So what is your view on new age startup companies that are loss making? Because a slew of these companies have listed over the past 2-3 years since 2021. So what is your view on that?
So investing in a loss making company is always is a challenge. So one needs to needed to carefully examine companies to that extent. It is also important to assess the unit economics, assessing the addressable market size, pathway to profitability, and levers which affect all these parameters in general. One can look at optional adjustment, adjacent business also, which companies actually too often have it in their portfolio, which can actually expand the addressable market size. So we have to look at all these things when we look at the loss-making startups to that extent. There are many moving parts in a startup company, and hence you have to have some margin of safety while building up all these assumptions when doing financial modeling. Startup companies are extremely agile. When investing in startup, it's always a challenge. We need to be extremely cautious because if the path to profitability is too long, the chances of many of the assumptions can go wrong to that extent. So one has to be very cautious on that to that extent. Startup, if you look at it, is also a function of how you look at it. We don't think only internet companies are startup. For us, it could be also brick and mortar, but actually delivering goods and services which is required by New Age India kind of stuff. So that is also a thing which we look at very closely in terms of which are the new companies which may be brick and mortar, but actually delivering goods and services for the New Age India to that extent. They have the advantage of size. They have less baggage in terms of legacy setup. They are also extremely adaptable and high on aspiration, which results in actually higher growth, better market share gains, and consequently better multiples to that extent in following years. So that's how we look at some of the new age startup companies in our portfolio.
Right. So Bharat, you talked about financial modeling, and I assume valuation will be a key aspect to it. But how do you value an IPO if earnings per share, price to earnings ratio, return on net worth of the company are not applicable to new age loss making companies?
So what we typically tend to look at it is unit economics at unit level, whether the company is able to make profit or not. That is one important thing. Second important thing is we look at the pathway to profitability, how long the company is going to reach the profitability matrix. If it's going to happen in a couple of years, then we tend to actually look more closely to such companies. If the company's pathway to profitability is out in 5-10 years kind of stuff, we tend to actually avoid such company when we will actually wait for this company to actually be closer to pathway to profitability. We understand, at least in the mutual fund space, the requirement for the investors are that the profitability metric has to be there in foreseeable future kind of stuff. It's not a private equity investment or venture capital investment where we have money for 5-10 years kind of stuff. We typically have money for 3-5 years, and hence we typically look at time horizon where the profitability matrix can happen in the next 3 years kind of stuff. So that's how we look at it from our point of view.
Right. So in mutual fund stock selection, I think elimination is more important than the selection. So for you, what are the factors on which you will reject an IPO outright?
Okay, as an IPO is about selection, rejecting as IPO is also an important criteria, as you rightly mentioned. We typically have very stringent criteria on avoiding. And if you look at our participation rate, we typically participate out of three IPO, we participate in one. If you look at the current year itself, calendar year, we had something like 38 IPOs. We participated close to around 14 IPOs. So our participation rate is has been similar across year to that extent. We typically follow some of the stringent criteria in avoiding, whether it's a debt to equity ratio, interest coverage ratio, cash conversion, ROE, ROC, questionable corporate governance practices, promoter track record being a bit poor kind of stuff. And if there is long pathway to profitability, in such case of scenario, we typically tend to actually avoid some of the IPOs. We also understand IPOs investing is all about capturing the earning trajectory. So only IPO coming from purely a valuation perspective is also not a good idea kind of stuff. We think those IPOs are always a value trap to that extent. So we have to be very cautious while looking at some of the companies which just come with the valuation gap to that extent. So that's how we typically reject an IPO.
So in your advice recently listed IPO fund, what is your preference? I mean, investing in an anchor round or then wait for the company to list, get the price get discovered in the market and wait for some quarters and the earnings to come in? What would be your preference?
We typically build position gradually over a period of time. We can participate during anchor rounds. We can participate in main book application. We can participate post-listing also. We actually build position gradually across time period. So I'm just saying whenever we have comfort on company, we might come in anchor book. We may participate in main book. We may buy post-listing. Sometimes it do happen that we might participate. We might not participate in anchor book or main book. And we might participate post-listing 1 quarter down the line, 1 year down the line, where we have comfort in terms of what the company was saying in terms of numbers. Are they delivering on track or not? If the companies are not delivering on track kind of stuff, we typically tend to add those positions. For us, this fund is not about listing day gain fund. This fund is all about buying good set of companies where the earning growth can be good with respect to market kind of stuff. So we think this is an interesting idea, not from a listing day gain perspective, but buying good companies at reasonable valuation and taking benefits of the earning growth trajectory.
But your fund recently curbed lump sum investments. So what is the rationale behind this move?
So if you look at it, we are always nudging investors to come in such kind of funds through an SIP route. What we have observed typically in IPO investing is that people most of the time do come at the peak of capital market cycle kind of stuff, both the investing companies as well as the investors in general. And we want investors to come gradually. What we have seen in the last 6 years of history for this fund kind of stuff, people who have come through an SIP route have actually far more better experience as company as compared to investors who have come actually through a lump sum route in general. What we are trying to say is that we are not going to invest the money at one go kind of stuff. We gradually invest in many of these companies across a time period, right? As I said, during anchor phase, main book, post-listing kind of stuff. And we also don't participate in all IPOs kind of stuff. So we require money gradually. So it's better for the investor also to put money gradually in this one. And that's how we intend to manage this one to that extent. And hence, this is just a nudging for investor to show that please come through an SIP route. You will have a better experience from the more holistic point of view.
Right. Edelweiss recently released IPO fund was launched in 2018. And over a period of time, many new age companies have come up. 2021 was the first, stage when a slew of such companies came in, Zomato, Paytm and all. And now it is happening again. So what has changed for these companies that are listing today compared to 2021 in terms of business, financials? What has changed?
So look, if you look at it, IPO investing is not about only about the new age listing kind of stuff. And when we talk about new age listing, it's not only about internet companies to that extent. We also talk about some of the companies in the consumer goods space, companies in the manufacturing space, company in the financial market space, and company in the technology space. So, and even healthcare kind of space. If you look at our portfolio, we have mix of a lot of companies across many sectors, domain kind of stuff. You would see some of these defense company also in our portfolio, some of the consumer retail brand companies also in our portfolio where they have a brick mortar presence kind of stuff. We have some of the auto ancillary companies are also in our portfolio, and some of the financial space company also in the portfolio, whether it's a lending or non-lending space, we have all such kind of portfolio. If you look at it on in all totality, what we are seeing in last 5 years, there has been 169 listings in main board kind of stuff. If you remove small market cap company where the market cap has been less than 1,000 crore at the time of IPO kind of stuff, we'll get something like 145 companies. Now, out of this, so far we have seen 110 companies have delivered positive returns since IPO. So it's a good number to start off with in terms of a good strategy to that extent. When you remove the listing day, because one of the questions people ask is all about, is it all about listing day gain? So let me remove some of the companies where the listing day gain happened. We see 90 companies still delivered positive returns post-listing kind of stuff. So I'm just saying that's still good enough, 90 out of 145 companies delivering positive returns post-list. If you look at from a relative perspective, 60 companies have done better than NSE 500 index. So that is also a good set of companies which have delivered far better returns than NSE 500. And if you look at it, 30% of 145 companies have actually delivered 5% more alpha as compared to NSE 500. So in our opinion, if you look at it, IPO investing in general is a good potential multi-bagger opportunity for investing. And one should not bog down by the kind of companies which are coming in. We think depending upon the market cycle, you will have different set of companies coming in. In 2017, we saw many NBFCs company coming for IPO. That is a time where the lending environment, especially for NBFC, was far more relaxed to that extent. In 2018-19, if you look at many non-lending companies like AMCs, life insurance company came for IPO. In 2020, we saw many chemical companies coming for IPO. In 2020, when we saw many new age companies or internet-based company coming for IPO. In 2022-23, we are seeing many defense manufacturing company coming for IPO. So this IPO investing is all about changing theme depending upon market cycle. You get a lot of opportunities across cycle to participate in. And one should not get bogged out by the fact that there are only internet-based companies which are coming for market. Across cycle, we have many different sectors segmenting, representing in the IPO market to that extent.
Good point. Now, one question, and this question is not for Edelweiss's IPO fund, because as per scheme profile, you have a mandate to invest in IPOs. But I have a question for Edelweiss Mutual Fund and for mutual fund industry. Do you think AMCs investing in IPOs are taking extra risk to deliver better returns?
So all IPOs don't make money. 1/4 IPOs, if you look at last 5 year data, are still in red. So I'm saying 25% of companies are still not making money. But that is the reason you can't apply a blanket approach in IPOs that you should invest in IPO or you should not do invest in IPO. Hence, passive strategy in IPOs doesn't work to that extent, and an active research is required to that extent. I spoke about it, how actually IPO investing strategy is good from a perspective. You can find multi-baggers to that extent, and if you pick your choose a company right to that extent, if you look at risk-reward ratio, actually that is very beneficial for a mutual fund industry to look at the IPOs in general.
Right. Now, addressing the recent case where people have come to criticize mutual funds investing in loss-making new age companies, do you think that mutual funds should be justifying each and every stock pick?
So if you look at it, in mutual fund industry, we have many schemes, categories where the objectives are different. Some of the schemes have short-term objectives, some mandates are more relative in nature, while some have risk-return framework kind of stuff or a process-oriented framework kind of stuff. Stock selection process is general, has a lot of nuances. It's not about buy and sell in general kind of stuff. It also has elements of overweight, underweight, risk management, and much more kind of stuff. Therefore, each stock rationale needs to be looked in the context, what has been bought for what reason kind of stuff. In MF world, if you look at it, each AMC has more than 1,000 or maybe 100 stocks in a across scheme, they have portfolios kind of stuff. And all the rationale do get recorded in our systems, internal systems, in terms of why do we buy all these stocks or sell all these stocks to that extent. However, putting everything on a public platform will actually be very difficult, and also will actually have implication in terms of how we build position, how we actually exit position also has some implication. So we just think too much of data typically also has a lot of negative attached to it while looking at the scheme performance.
Thank you for talking to us.
Great. Thanks, Abhinav.
With that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views, and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.